Blog Talk Radio.
I may not have a license to kill, but liberalism dies a little every time I pull the trigger on it. This is a conservative's perspective.
Let's start with the debate. You and your team have said you had a bad night, but your friend Nancy Pelosi actually framed the question that I think is on the minds of millions of Americans. Was this a bad episode or the sign of a more serious condition?
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Welcome to the show. Going live on video right now. Welcome to the program, everyone. It is Wednesday. After a long week of not working every day, it's hard to get back, get used to this again. Anyway, tonight our guest is Dr. Andrew Knight, out of Florida. Waiting for him to show up and join us. Yeah. So, things going on. Two friends of mine are making a movie. WW2, I can actually show you the preview for it. Here we go. Interesting. So, I'm going to share my screen. And people on the radio cannot see my screen, but you can imagine. Use your imagination, right? So we're going to share. Here we go. Todd's Armor, here we go. We're going to share this. And we are there now, and we are going to play this clip for you. This is the trailer.
I'd be ashamed to be afraid to die of me after what they think for their fundraiser Jenkins. I'd be humiled. Be ashamed.
Behold, all the horses, chariots, fire, all the crowds and nations. But each man chooses his own destiny within it. Colonel, sir, 55-9, blessed are the peacemakers today, we call children of God.
Very interesting. It looks like my guest is here. I am going to go back. Stop sharing. Here we go. Now we're back in the studio, everybody. My guest, Dr. Knight, has arrived, so we're going to say hello to him.
Hello
there. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Great. I love your Air Force shirt. That's awesome. Is that what that is?
I got them at Patrick Space Force.
Oh, good. Hey, can you hear me okay? Okay, great. So,
everything's good.
Yeah, so, yeah, I sent you the files and everything, and we'll talk about that later, but welcome to the program. Tell us what's going on. Let me tell you something. I'm going to read the bio on this movie real quick before you talk. Is that all right?
Sure. Sure.
This is very interesting. Go back here. So, it's not really the bio, it's a synopsis. During the Blitzkrieg in 1944 in northern Germany, during the Battle of the Bulge, a lone tank driver whose crew has been killed meets up with two soldiers from different armies. A tough British colonel. You know what they are. There were two soldiers. Okay, may or may not be rational or seeming American soldier who may or may not be a Nazi. His Christian values demand the tanker share the only shelter from the blistering. Because it's snow. The whole background is snow. It's freezing and people are dying. Deadly cold, this tank. But who can be trusted? And thus begins a sometimes harrowing psychological drama thriller during Christmas Eve into Christmas Day. Steeped in faith-based themes in scripture. So that's that for the movie. And I think it's very interesting. I like the two elements of it. It's military. It's about religion, Christianity in particular. And I think it'd be a really wide audience. But the thing about it is to get the word out. It's almost finished. And it's coming soon. And it's in 3D.
Who's producing it?
David Rosler. He's done a lot of East Coast things and Hollywood in the past. He's done a lot of movies. He's like a movie connoisseur. Yeah, that's what the gist is of that. And I think this would be a really good lesson. And, you know, and it's 3D. That's the thing. You don't see 3D movies too much. Now they have 4D. Where they, like in the snow, they actually put snow on you in the theater.
Right.
And you feel the wind and all kinds of things, like everything that happens in the movie.
Well, that is fun.
So it's fascinating because I had him on my show last week, and he was telling me about how he can he had to do some research and get inside the tank and how really small they were and the history behind it and how people actually died in the tanks, freeze to death.
Wow.
Yeah. Permitting war danger, just the fact that they were in that tank. And let me see.
Yes, I think there's an element in this movie. It almost sounds like the Bond Party.
Right, right. There probably is. You know, survival thing. War, like they say, you don't want to be in a war anyway. So, war is terrible.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I pulled out both of my books that deal with suffering, evil, and suffering, and I was just thinking this when I read this trailer that war is probably the closest thing to hell.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That would be the obvious assessment, but I would also say that it's also the most real way for us to understand the omnipotence of God.
Right.
Because, like, for instance, you know, if you watch the D-Day memorial service in France a few weeks ago, celebrate 80 years since D-Day, and you know, so many people died then they were out there on that June 6th. Now, who would have
here? You know, I went to a we were honoring a Patterson Museum. We walked in the museum. To the WWE, yeah, there are many items and items. Stuff they look for, in fact, when they're back here. To tell about it, there's like, we have one of them died like a week before. But the stories are, they didn't have a reservation, they just did what they had to do. These were, people were, they were all kind of, yeah. Uncle, my great uncle, was in the war too, right? As an African American, and they were, French people were told that black men had tails. This is honest, okay? He told me this story. And they went to the shower. All Americans as that were probably they were on for patriots. They did it right. A lot of heroes came out of some great things people went through. I can't imagine. They knew a lot of them were fighting. Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, the worst conditions. Yeah.
He was a Marine, and then he got kicked out of the Marines. He went to the Army. And then he got recruited back to the Marines, but he was a pilot wherever he was. And he was just, things this guy did, I mean, like beating up his commanding officer, and then leaving the military so as not to get prosecuted, and then going back in another branch of service, never happened today.
Right.
And, he always told his men, if you don't see me after the war, just pull me in a bar in San Diego. You find me in a bar in San Diego. He was just, this guy was just scrappy. And anyhow, his aircraft, and his being a pilot, shot down, I'm trying to figure out how many others he shot down, and I think it was somewhere in the teens. But it was a record. He was, I think it was the top one, but you don't know how that's going to, you have no idea how that's going to end.
Exactly, just, yeah.
And you, the only way you know your fellow airmen are survive or not, or have a chance of survival, if you see those parachutes don't pop, you know your friends are gone. They watch one after another, get shot down or bail out, or the parachutes didn't open or whatever. So.
Yeah, one of the guys was talking about that. That's the sad thing, you know. We knew he was gone because of the parachute. He actually mentioned that very thing. He was a crew member, and I have a friend. He's on Facebook, Wayne Smith. I've met him once. He was a Vietnam pilot. They flew like 80 missions in Vietnam. 80 sorties, and he got shot down on the last one and went to Hanoi Hilton 5 years. And it's just, those are probably the worst wars I we're mentioning right now. It's like Vietnam, WW2, you know, and those are pretty extreme. They don't do dogfighting much anymore, so Top Gun's not reality.
What's interesting about the older generations, first of all, my grandpa, he lied about his age to get into World War I when he was 17.
Yeah.
17, okay, which a lot of young men did.
Yeah.
And, then, which I didn't know, he lived to be 90 years young, so almost 90.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know until after my uncle died, that he was in the Navy also.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa was in the Navy. My grandpa was stationed in New York City, and he's from Iowa originally, and he
he heard Billy Sunday was going to be preaching, and he says, well, the man's from Iowa. I'll go see what he has to say.
Oh, really?
At a rally in New York City. It was a 14-week evangelistic rally, and he shows up, and now, who knows, he's maybe in his Navy white suit, something like that, walking around the city, and stumbles into a revival meeting and comes to Christ. Then my uncle, that he knew the Lord also, my uncle was in he was in World War II, and then he went back in a couple of years ago, and he never talked about it. My aunt told me, or my cousin told me about it. They were both, my grandpa and my uncle served in the Navy, and I never knew one. Now, my grandpa told me stories. He told me stories that it takes four men to hold them down. He'd be fighting and wrestling and fighting in the bars. He just told me stories. I was like 5 years old. And it takes four men to hold me back. Actually, knocking them out, one after the other.
Wow.
He was a wild.
And some people don't talk about it. Right.
Yeah, my mom talked about it, but he went to war twice, World War II, and then he went back to the Korean War. Talk about giving yourself to your country.
Yeah, do you realize that the WW2 was over only 20 years before we were born? No, WW2.
Oh, 20 years before we were born?
Or ended in 45. I was born in 65. It's not that far back. So.
That's true.
I never thought about it. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah.
That's why I mentioned my dad was born in 1940, and he talked about having paper drives, rubber drives, all these different raw materials that citizens were asked to basically donate for the war effort. That was, and you hear about it on older broadcasts too, that everybody, or even like It's a Wonderful Life, they'll talk about everything was about the war effort. Everybody was pulling together as a country, not just the military, but everybody.
The war drive, you know, all communities, everybody, the kids are in on it. It's all about that effort. And that was, it'd be great to see that today, that kind of thing going on today.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen during the Gulf War or anything like that. We just saw people, one of my commanders in Ohio was shot down in the Gulf War. And they have him on CNN, they have tapes of him on CNN. Being captured, a 16th pilot, and he's got scars on his face and things like that. But it is interesting. I mean, combat-proven people. You had a lot of those when you were in the Air Force. You had a lot of those.
My neighbor across the street was in. He was like a SEAL Team 6 of the Air Force. I don't know what exactly it was, but
pararescue. Yeah.
He may have been. They put $500,000 of training into him. He saw live action, it that way.
Right.
And he got PTSD. He can't even be around civilization during the July. He has to go up somewhere and, you know, camping out somewhere where there's no people because he'll totally freak out.
Wow.
He didn't retire, but he's a staff sergeant. Then I have another neighbor next to him that was in Vietnam. He's 8 years young. I told him how to get rated. He just went down, got 100% rating. then I went back and told him, now you gotta go give your certificate, your award letter to the county, and they'll take your house off the tax rolls. He goes, okay. So we did that too.
No way. Wow. That's incredible. Wow. That's good.
That's good for him.
He didn't even tell me he got 100% rating. He didn't even tell me.
Yeah.
I told him, but yeah, which is fine, but.
I know how you feel.
Well, and then my other neighbor up the street, two houses down, he's retired Army, and he was two years in, he was a contractor. What do they do? Like, they do all that counting of supplies. What do they call it? Like audit.
Okay. Yeah.
Audit guy. And he said he worked 12 hours, 7 days a week, 5 or 66, somewhere seven, somewhere in that range. But he did 25 years in the Army. So then my next door neighbor was Navy, retired Navy. So a lot of military on the street, a lot of iron too.
Now, speaking of 1940s, so a friend of mine, he was my mentor, my Air Force mentor. We worked together. He taught me more than everybody put together. And this guy joined the Navy right after WW2. And he was a very smart guy. He knew how to do the job, and he taught me a lot. But this guy, he died in, like, 2010. But this guy had it together. He taught the philosophy. This guy was like a pimp. We go on TDYs, and he ripped this gigantic Lincoln every time. Like during the physical fit test, the walk part, he would have a cigarette and a beer while he was doing the walk. That tells you the walk test is useless, right? He would do it. Wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He was part-time alcoholic, but he knew his stuff. He was that good. He was the next Popeye. But you got heroes out there for real. Very patriotic. Got to work with a bunch of them. And the SEALs, I met SEALs, and those guys are incredible. Incredible.
So I see them every day on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
One couple that's, the guy's, he's probably only 38 years old. He's got 20 years in the Air Force. He went in and enlisted and then got commissioned. As you can see his bio, of course, you see he got an AA from the Air Force. And then he got his avionics from Emory Riddle, which is right here in Daytona Beach.
Right.
And then he went back to his master's there. So, well, here he is, a young, what I would call a young major, probably about 38, and his wife's a captain, and there's a picture of them. And they're both, it looks like they're both teaching in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Fort College.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a big, a lot of people go down there, yeah.
But, I mean, there's just great people. You see them, I see them all the time on my LinkedIn, I'm sure.
I was there today. I was there today, check it out. Yeah, you're right. There's so many good people, and some of the young people are like that now, and there's a lot of patriotic people. We have, where I work, a lot of people from the academy as well. But I like the people who hit the ground, the people who do, boots on the ground, kind of Air Force people are on the flight line or back shops. Those are the kind of people, they got to get it done every day. You can't take anything.
I'll tell you what's interesting. I went up to the VA lab work done, and a couple other types had to take care of there. And then I do errands on my way back to Port Orange, and I get gas at BJ's. And I said, I was still thinking about going to that. It was Monday, Tuesday. I was thinking about going to that rally in Doral.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure I wanted to drive down. It's almost 4 hours. We probably 4 hours if any stops and each way. And I said, I wonder if I could get a half a dozen people, guys together and rent a plane, go down the site. Drove a different way home. I went down to Group 1 and went to the airport in Daytona, or in the Fisk Run Beach, rather. And I went in there and I talked to the gal, and she priced it out. It'd be about $5,000, about $850 for six guys. Of course, there wasn't enough time to make people together. Called a couple people in the RNC town committee, and I couldn't get anything. The mayor, I talked to the youngest mayor in the country, is right next town south of me in Edgewater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's about 20 years old. He's actually a student at Daytona State College.
No way.
He got VIP seats down there. So I said, well, it doesn't look like we'll be able to connect down there. I would $5,000 to take a trip down the state. Or if you had six people, it would only be like $850.
That's still a lot. That's still a lot of money, but it would be fun. That would be fun.
It is a lot. It is a lot, but you wouldn't forget it. And,
I went to one. I went to one in 16. So,
you rented one in 16?
No, I went to a rally. And
I didn't make it, but I watched it last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah, it was interesting because they put all the veterans right behind the president. And you're like, you're really close. Yes. That's what they did when I went to. So it was
I love it down there.
Yeah.
I love it down there. I wish Lord would move down there. I'm so jealous.
Hey, I say the same thing about your area. Someday, probably. Maybe, I might have to do it.
Incidentally, so because I went a different direction to get back to New Smyrna Beach, I passed this church and I said, oh, the grass is kind of long there. I wonder, maybe they're going to sell the building or something. So I looked up the church and I called the pastor. It was the Episcopal Church. Of course, I didn't want to say, hey, you guys going out of business? That's like kind of crazy. So I said, well, you know, I'm a church planner. I'm kind of looking for a space to rent. That was kind of a softball way of asking, you know.
Yeah.
And, kind of what's going on there. They may actually end up going out of business. They may end up selling the building. It's right next to a high school.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go to their service on Sunday. They wanted my doctoral statement, so I sent that to them last night. And so if things work out, I'm going to probably plan on launching a church there on Easter Sunday next year, April 20.
Yeah, I would like to come down there and visit. That would be cool. You got skills. any excuse to go to Florida, yeah. And
you and your wife can stay. You and wife can stay here. You have separate room with a private bath, full bath.
Oh wow!
Very private, opposite side of where I live.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I love Florida. People say it's too hot, but I don't think so. I like it. I like it hot like that.
No, it's not too hot. Nope.
No.
I don't know what they're talking about.
It's nice.
The problem is your body's not used to it. It takes a good year for your body to get used to it, and your blood thins out, and then you feel very different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very different. Your body adjusts. It's the way it is. If you were to go to Antarctica and you weren't well prepared for the cold, body shocked, right? So why would you think you're going to go from New England or the upper Midwest to Florida and not have an effect on your body?
I'm going to say I would not, because I went down there TDY a lot, and I went overseas, and I've been to hotter places. I'm kind of used to being a chameleon, so I know what to expect. Arizona, we go out there. Yeah. I lived in the Philippines for years, So that was really hot. That was like, it was like an oven.
Manila?
Clark Air Base, which is about an hour or so from Manila. Yeah, I've been to Manila a few times. We went there for a few trips. But nothing was hotter than Africa. Then Djibouti. It was right on the Red Sea. You could see the Red Sea from work. Yeah, and yeah, that was pretty.
Would it be the east side of
the peninsula? Yes. East coast.
What part of Africa?
It's like the Horn. The Horn of Africa. Yeah, it's
west Africa.
Just north. No, it's east. No, it's just north of. Let's see. What's that? Okay. Where there's no food, right? What is that? We used to talk about this on commercials a lot. Sally Struthers. What was that country? Ethiopia? And they were getting all their food from Ethiopia. That's how bad it was in Djibouti. Yeah. And there's people with no shoes. Some people are walking around with no clothes on at all. Reports of, and there's poverty everywhere, but the biggest employer was a Navy base. But it was fascinating. There was all kinds of crazy animals. Yeah, we were on a Navy base. And actually, probably don't know this, I played bass at the Navy Chapel while I was there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we had to sight read music. So, that was...
Clark Air Base, how was that?
It was... Yes, it was really nice. It wasn't as hot as Africa, but it was hot enough. When you first get there, it's like you walk into an oven when you get off the plane. That's what it feels like. Yeah, it was cool. You got to see a lot of WW2 sites, like the Bataan Death March is there. Japanese occupied that island, one of the islands, and a lot of history. There's a lot of old 1940s vehicles there, jeeps, and some of the jeeps are what people are using to transport people around town, you know, the taxis now. And my dad bought a 47 Ford over there for $500. So, very interesting. A lot of things. So we're Americans. In another country, it's a whole other dynamic there. So we played baseball. I played baseball the whole time. We practiced on the field, parade field, and then the Philippine National Anthem would come on after our anthem. So as soon as the American anthem goes away, we start playing again. It's not our country. We don't respect another country's flag. So they taught us that from a really young age. So when the Philippine anthem came on, we continued to play or to practice. So you get to, you know, all the anthems, you know where things are, you know the culture and the food and everything. And I think that was a great experience. One of the better experiences that most people don't get to do as a military brat.
Were you ever stationed at Clark when you were?
Yeah, my dad was, yeah.
Dad was, but not you.
No.
Separated from your dad at some point?
No, only when he went to Vietnam. And I didn't know where he was. I didn't know. I was like, where's daddy? Where's daddy? And we were living somewhere else back in Ohio. But we all got over. We were over there overseas. And it was really cool. I met a lot of friends. I still have friends today from there.
So you wanted to know what was going on with me?
Yes, what's going on with you? I know you're in school.
Well, yeah, as of Friday, we completed my eighth course in my PhD in the applied apologetics, and we had 19 in the cohort.
Yes.
Up until Friday, they were diminishing for the last year, 15 months or so.
Yeah.
Since the second course, people had dropped. Well, we had two left besides myself till Friday, and those two dropped off Friday. So now I'm in a course, and I don't have a professor anymore. I have a tutor.
What? I bet you're... Wow.
That's kind of a joke, but I don't have... I mean, I'm the only student in the class.
Right.
So what do you call me? I have a tutor. I don't have a professor.
Teacher's pet.
Well, I'm like Joe Biden. I'm at the top of my class, you know?
Right. I don't know what class.
I'm sorry. To corrupt
your team. Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, River is he was not, but, you know, it's just another. Yeah, so.
Say the people in my class were geniuses, and they didn't quit because they weren't bright students.
Mm-hmm.
I think they quit. One of them was, to tell you how bright they are, or were, one was a medical doctor at Johns Hopkins.
Really?
Men already.
Wow.
This would have been his third doctoral degree. Well, you just do the math. He had one too many surgeries on the calendar, and he couldn't keep up with it. Couldn't do it. It wasn't because he wasn't bright. Wasn't a committed Christian. Then another student, whose first name was Paul, as a missionary.
Yeah.
He had two masters and a doctor of ministry already, and he was fluent in both biblical languages and five other languages.
Okay. Wow.
Somebody was surrounded by brilliant people.
That is brilliant. That's amazing. That's amazing.
And, I joke and say, saying this PhD all I want, my wife doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's been all the time. On it because, you know, my wife doesn't complain about anything.
I don't think she does. I think she understands.
I never hear a word from her. not a peep. Not a complaint. Wife, nothing.
Well, you're the luckiest husband in the world.
What's that?
You're the luckiest husband in the world then.
That's right. My wife is so quiet. So we have this opportunity about the church launching next, that's what immediately comes to mind is to start on Easter Sunday, and there's no sense rushing into it, but you want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to purchase all the emails, all the residents, you buy them by zip code, okay?
Right.
So. I can get the first four towns in my immediate area about 153,000 emails for about $1,400, and that includes apartments. And that's one thing. Churches don't do a good job of reaching single people. I will make sure that we have an aggressive outreach to apartment dwellers. I'll tell you what, if you come to Daytona, I'll show you within 1 mile, you'll see brand new apartments that went up, totaling over 30,000 units, all filled up as soon as they got the CO, they were filled.
Really?
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. How much did you say that costs? And can you explain a little bit what you're going to do to reach?
Okay. I have two different email companies in Florida that sell emails and by different criteria, and one of them sells them per zip code, and one or both of them sell them by single family homes and there's three criteria: a single family, apartments, and new move-ins. So I'll get all categories possible. Eventually, I'm going to get about six to seven towns around, which would total about 350,000 emails. And so we'll set up another server that's out of your town, by the way, in Dayton.
Really?
My web guy is Dayton. Right now, we're sending out about 10,000 emails a day promoting my Institute for Biblical Apologetics. And then when we're not sending those out, we're sending out 10,000 a day for fundraisers emails in Florida, and but we'll set up a second server specifically for the church outreach next year, and so we can dedicate another 10,000 a day going out in the thing area, to help inviting people to the next service the following week. And we'll change it. I'm thinking about putting the short videos on there, the 30, 40 second videos, and in my outlines, sermon outlines, and notes for my each message for the week ahead.
That's great.
I was talking to a pastor and a friend of mine in the Bronx this afternoon, and Dr. Grassi. I said, "Hey, what do you think about this, Joel?" He said, "Sending them notes, they will, you know, one of the things when you visit a church, I was telling him, I said, don't you think there's a high level of stress when people come to a church because they don't know what to expect? So the more you can let them know what to expect, the easier it will be for them. And more comfortable they'll," and he agreed. He said that there's definitely some truth to that, that people are, there's a stress factor. So we can do all of that. We can send videos, we can send, you know, sermon notes out and do everything we can. We can put little video ads out. People can pick them up on their email. And once we buy the emails, we own them. Then it only costs me $50 a month or so to run these 10,000 emails a day.
So how much does that cost, did you say?
I did the math on four towns around me, Daytona, Port Orange, New Smyrna Beach, and Edgewater. It's about 153,000 emails for about $1,400.
Okay. It's very effective.
It's a good investment.
Yeah.
Once you buy them, you own them. You can keep dripping on people and keep in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking 70,000 emails a week promoting the following week's service.
That is crazy. I love it. That's so cool. All right.
Yeah. Like I said, I called this Episcopal minister. Monday night, he called me back. We had a great conversation, and just a fascinating guy. He did his PhD in Scotland, and he's kind of a evangelical reformed. I mean, it's all mixed up. It's like, I don't know, kind of like stone soup or something in there. You know, it's just a little bit of everything in there. You know, reformed, evangelical. He went to a Catholic seminary in the States and in Scotland, and now he's an Episcopalian that's evangelical reformed.
Wow.
But we got along great. I got along, and he's a surfer. He's a surfer preacher.
No way.
He goes out. He's the best surfing on the East Coast is New Smyrna Beach because of the waves. Best on the East Coast, the whole East Coast. So we got talking, and, you know, he says, "Hey, well, you know, send me your doctoral statement, and, you know, he'll present to some people. I'm going to go visit their church Sunday morning." And, you know, Episcopalians do one thing right. They have their church, they have their fellowship coffee after the service, not before.
Okay, gotcha.
So,
it's hilarious.
I grew up Episcopal. My dad was a priest, but then I got saved, and then I realized that wasn't the place for me to be. But nonetheless, just I got along good with him, and we talked. He says, "Hey, we'll, you know, discuss it with other people in the church, and you can come visit us, and we'll talk about what kind of money you can afford." Use that word. We'll find out what you can afford.
Yeah.
So he's already a very accommodating sentiment already, which is music to my ears.
Yeah.
So You know, I have a lot of things talking to. So I have 100
people.
I have plenty of people that have been involved in the IRS. I've been registered with the state of Florida, long as the state just waiting right out. Maybe I have domains. I have two domains, church.
Mm-hmm.
Website
up. Wow, you're a master planner. You got it together. A lot of people don't have that. They need to hear that. That's excellent.
See what the Lord does. Lord willing, I mean, you know, I tell people once we get our email storm, we'll be evangelized.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. It, well, it doesn't matter how they didn't have email back then, you know. Just, oh man, I'm impressed. Wow, that's a high rate. Yeah, that's incredible.
And if we get the help right next to the ice plant, I don't believe that
we get. Right.
So we'll just see what happens, and then I'm going to Connecticut in October 11th, and flying to Connecticut 12th, and somebody's going to a jail, start the game,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to hang up a few weeks, hopefully just reaching a remote Bible conference on the 8th, 25th of October, I'm reaching the pastor, so it's 25, 20, 20. You know, you go anywhere since I started this PhD. I'm like,
I like Pensacola.
Yeah.
I like it. My wife was there too with me on a trip. Yeah, we liked it.
It's too cold though, brother. You don't
tell me, but you know it was warmer than Ohio.
It is absolutely warmer than Ohio, but I went to college there. You got the snow there. It's fun. It's cold.
Yeah, I know. It's warmer in Virginia Beach. At that same time, because we were down there in the wintertime. And it was like in the 30s. I'm like, what? But it did warm up to like set to 70s, close to the weekend. It is better than Ohio by far. I'd rather be there than Ohio. But I don't think I... It was pretty cool. But anything else you want to talk about? I have something going on at 7. If you don't mind.
The only thing I would say with regards to the movie,
yeah,
is I think the elements of that are dealing with the sovereignty of God, of life, good and evil, suffering, you know, God is for suffering, not allowing suffering because it stands for. Shows us fighting in God.
Right. Wow.
And suffering is for God's glory. That's what it's for. But that's not the mindset of Christianity West.
Right.
We're not a public church.
That's right. Right. I gotcha. A lot of people don't know that story yet. I haven't talked about it, but it's very, very sobering, you know. And thank God you survived that fire. Yeah.
God
survived.
I'll let you run.
Hey, before you go, yes, no, you're the sir, doctor. So you're going to, okay, yeah, hopefully, yeah, if you want to put that on your LinkedIn page or anywhere else, that would be appreciated. But, and sometime I'd like you to meet. Okay, yeah. So you have the address, you have the city of the website, and you're, that's...
I can pull it off.
Okay. You know what, Dr. Knight, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on, and the way you manage things, you've always been amazing. You do these big, giant things all the time. I think that's great. If you know, that's totally amazing to me. Totally amazing. But you got it together. And pray that you get 100%. Pray that you get 100%. Me too.
Well, right?
Yes, go right ahead.
Thank you for Kevin White for putting this podcast up. Bless viewers, yourself, and heal. I'm sure there's a lot of healing takes place, a lot of conversation. And they do it just to do work and people's hearts and lives. And I pray with this being blessed in a great way. And
we'll be
careful.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Knight. Hey, we got two hearts. Do we want to give you a heart?
Okay.
You got two hearts here for that. Yes. Thank you so much, sir. You have a great day and week, okay? All right. Thank you. And that will do it. See ya. Bye. So that'll do it. That's a show for tonight. Got other places to go. Dr. Knight is fantastic. He's a wonderful. So he's a very gentleman. And yes, very good friend. And we talk a lot outside of here. Anyway, it's time for us to end the show. God bless America. God bless the military. And God protect us from here on out. Thank you. Good night.
Night is on fire. Yeah. Oh, okay. I got those. I know what I got.